Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, CEO of Dance Formation, Carlton Wilborn.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Carl Bray. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, I walked into the studio today, and Carl Bray was at the piano, and he was doing a sound check with our engineer, Brent Hahn, and he was singing. And I said to myself, oh, he sings too? And as soon as I said that, I had to laugh at myself, because that's what the monologue is all about, is these assumptions we make about ourselves and other people, that we don't have other talents and we can't use other talents. And already, Carlton Wilborn, our guest, is sitting here shaking his head, yes, is nodding his head, because this is about you, Carlton. So hang in there, because it actually started. I was picked up at the airport a couple weeks ago in Santa Fe for this event that I was doing. We've talked about it before. And the young man driving me said, oh, I looked at your this and you do this. And I looked at that and you did this and you're multi-talented. And I said, thank you, but I don't see myself as multi-talented. I see myself as using many more of the talents that I have than most people do. And so to me, I think more of us could use more of our talents. So sure enough, I met this artist, and I met him because he's an artist, and he's Giorgio Attilio Ceccarelli. And he's an architect, he's a sculptor, he's a painter, and the next thing I know, he's an author. And I am actually reading his book. It's called K622, Racconti di un Cammino. He's Italian, and the book is in Italian. And I'm reading it, and right off the bat, on the very first page, I couldn't agree with him more. He says that he was talking to a friend of his and told him that he was writing an autobiography. And his friend says, oh, we need another autobiography, like we need another hole in our head kind of thing. And he says, no, we need everybody to write an autobiography by the end of their life, because all the information that we each have needs to be there for the next generation so we could pick up from there and move forward. So I thought, wow, I really like this guy. But I also really like this guy because he's 80 years old. He's still an architect. He's still a sculptor. He's still a painter. And he just finished writing his book that I'm reading right now. K622, Racconti di un Cammino, for those of you who are Italian, Giorgio Attilio Ceccarelli. And I'm proud of this fact because he was making that point of, we are more than we think we are. And too many of us don't allow our own selves to use our own talents. And so when I met Carlton Wilborn, I met him as a choreographer. Now, I had no idea of all the other things he does. The more I got to know him, I thought, wow, what else does he do? Wow, what else does he do? And so now I find out, or recently, that he's CEO of Dance Formation, where they work on the art of igniting freedom, courage, and healing. This is yet another thing he does. However, to me, that seems like the basis of what we're talking about here. And so this is a perfect time to have this conversation with him, not only because we're going to talk about that, but because he's all over the news, or at least I've seen him several different places in the news and on TV and all that, because he's one of the stars of Strike a Pose, a film based on Madonna's Blonde Ambition tour, and the film, oh, because he was one of the principal dancers in that tour. So what a great example of the all that we could be, or the more that we could be. And so when we come back with our guest, Carlton Wilborn, we'll be talking about the art of igniting freedom, courage, and healing, and being more of who we actually really are. All on the Life Changes Show when we come back right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with our co-host, Mark Lejeur. I'm looking at you because I'm thinking, am I going to say this? It reminds me of the slogan, be all that you could be, only that was used for something entirely different.
Well, for starters, I'm glad that you clarified for our listeners that the book is Italian.
Yes.
Can you say the title again?
No one would guess from the title. Racconti di un cammino.
Wow.
And it's available on Amazon.
Yeah, being all you can be is, well, that's a topic near to our hearts, right? We've talked about this so many times because the world likes to put people in boxes and we aren't the kind of people that live in boxes. And I don't believe that anyone is the kind of person that lives in boxes.
And here, here.
There you are.
There I am, as I'm wearing boxes today.
As you're, yeah, in honor of it. Perfect.
It's checkers. Okay. Well, this is really exciting because, like I said, when I met him, he was a dancer and a choreographer. And little did I know what he had done, what he was doing, and what he was to do. And who knows what he's still going to do because he's still young and got a lot of life ahead of him, and he uses it to the fullest, as far as I know. The Art of Igniting Freedom, Courage, and Healing. He's the CEO of Dance Formation and the star, or one of the stars, of Strike a Pose, a film based on Madonna's Blonde Ambition Tour. And a book, I guess, and
anything,
and
bland,
movie, right? He's a producer. I mean, a television, stage. I mean, we can literally go on and on. But he is here, so let's not waste another moment. Carlton Wilborn, welcome to our show.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. How are you?
You know, I'm well. You're always so dapper. Where does that come from?
I don't know. I have no idea. Am I dapper?
You always are. I meet you in the street and you're just walking down the street and you're wearing something fabulous.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I love to be free. I love doing my thing. And, you know, sometimes it stands out for folks and sometimes I think it always stands out whether or not people like it or not. It's a different issue. But basically, I do me. And
you do you.
And it's cool that folks like you will appreciate it if you do.
Well, obviously, there were a lot of people that appreciated it, and someone that I became very important in your life. So let's start out with the film, and then let's work our way towards.
Okay.
So the Blonde Ambition Tour. I know you got a phone call and you didn't believe it was Madonna, but it really was. But what? So tell us a little bit about that.
Wow. You know.
Where did you start?
No, so I had been out here in L.A. already only maybe about 6 months. I came out to Los Angeles in June of 89, was gigging around doing some things, and then January of 90, I did the audition. And
you and millions of others.
Yeah, yeah, so basically the Blonde Ambition Tour was M and seven guys. So she put out a blast call to agents and the regular media outlets for a bunch of male dancers to show up. On the day, there were easily, at least here in LA, about 1,000 people at a studio called Landmark Studios. It's right off of Sunset, or mm-hmm. It used to be. But here's what's interesting about the track for me is, and I think it's probably one of the things that allowed me to get the gig, was I went there because I didn't care about it at all. I had actually auditioned for Whitney Houston's tour at the time. had been chosen.
Mm.
And Whitney put the tour, her tour, on hold.
Ah.
Because she didn't know how long she wanted to go out there trying to figure out the all of that for the back end of her show. So I literally hear about M's audition and I'm like, F it, I'll go anyway because I already have a solid tour in my pocket. I'll just go and have fun.
It's going to be an alphabet kind of day.
Yeah, it's that kind of day. And so anyway, so, you know, I went to the audition. She was there. Two of the background singers who have always had a lot of input into dancers that get chosen were there. I did my thing. I left that day. It was an all-day affair, you know, cutting down, made it home, had no idea, nothing. Got home, and there was a message on my voice, on my answering machine. It wasn't even a voicemail, because I got right, huh? like, that word doesn't apply. It was an answering machine.
And they were made out of wood, right?
Exactly. Anyway, so yeah, I got this message from her that she was asking me to meet her at a club downtown called Club Louie, which, whatever, I'm blown away, hang up the phone, screaming, bouncing around like a crazy man in my apartment. I go and cut to...
I appreciate the honesty.
It's what it is, right? But what's cool is that I realized by the time I got there, she had basically chosen the guys because the guys that ended up booking the job were the only guys at the club.
Mm.
So I think even though she hadn't given us the complete green light, it was like stage three of the audition process.
Mm.
And she wanted
will
to
I
know,
get along with these
yeah,
people?
Yeah, can
kind
we
of
like
thing?
Kick it and party and yeah. like socialize and do our thing? Because the magic about me being able to be on the road with her at that time, the entire collective system was different. The record labels had money.
Mm.
She was single and childless. So for us as dancers and performers, we got to hang and bop around and run around with her. Mm. So that was great access. And also it was, you know, if you're going to do a big, you know, sort of iconic
hang
tour.
Hang and bop around with her and
hang
touch
and bop
her
around.
Every place.
Yes.
And be in bed with her. I saw the movie.
Okay. So that's what that was. That's what that was. And anyway, cut to, I did that tour. That was fantastic. Went on to immediately start building up my acting career. Cut to, I got invited on to tour with her again for the Girly Show, which was 1993. And that was a really cool opportunity for me because I got to run the auditions for the entire thing here in L.A. She called me again. So this was right after she had done A League of Their Own.
Penny Marshall. Yeah.
Exactly. I saw that. She knows, M knows that I'm from Chicago. I get a phone call. I'm in my bedroom. She calls, hey, so listen, I'm going back out and I'm planning to come to L.A. Do you have any dancers that you think would be right for my show? I was like, cool. Blah, blah, blah. Hung up. She called back 10 minutes later and she was like, oh my God, I didn't even think to ask you. Do you want to go back out on the road again? I was like, yeah, sure. So the fact that I got to go back out, it's kind of a fun bit of trivia about my past is I get to say that I was the first dancer in the Madonna world that was ever officially invited back for the second time. She'd never done that with any other dancer. So the Blonde Ambition tour was, I mean, the Girly Show tour, which was the second tour, was really awesome for me. It's funny because, yes, the Blonde Ambition tour, and I'll track this as best I can, but the Blonde Ambition tour links to the new film Strike a Pose.
Right.
Right. But one of the things that's interesting about it all for me is, as a performer, the Girly Show was actually my most favorite show to do. My life has been greatly afforded in a bigger way from the Blonde Ambition tour, but the one that I resonated with, because there was something about the Girly Show tour that was much more elegant. The camp was not in it.
Oh, interesting.
And it felt like she grew up.
Interesting.
In a way, so.
And you were in a different place, too. You had grown up. And actually, speaking of growing up and life changing, I know that there were some life changing things that quote unquote came out during that tour that you were not ready for, that you weren't expecting or something like that. And I think they come out in the film Strike a Pose. And so if you want to go with
what
us there,
if about, I want
to go, if you want to go with us there,
what
when
are you
we,
wanting to bring up?
When we come back, we're going to talk about that. Maybe.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And of course. With our guest, Carlton Wilburn, and a little later on, live music with our musical guest, Carl Bray. This is an exciting
Can he
night.
Play while I talk?
he can. Actually, he can do all kinds of stuff. And we'll talk about that a little later when he's on. All on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic. And The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back.
What the?
What? That's a cool thing. I just
I love that you threw the question to him and he was like,
wasn't the word that I was going to go for. Let's just put it
so
down.
What you all missed was I just said to Mark, "Isn't Carlton a hoot?" And Mark's like, "That." So that wasn't anyway. There was this really weird moment.
And to that I go,
Carlton, this is radio. They didn't see what you just did. But
it's
anyway,
okay.
We'll leave it at that. Okay, so we're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio with our guest, Carlton Wilburn, and Mark is here as well, of course. Okay, you guys all had me all flustered there.
We should pause for
okay, so sorry.
Breathe.
So, yeah, breathe. Take a moment. All right, so, well, you know, because this is kind of touchy. There were things that happened during the film, the Truth or Dare and all that, that you weren't, like, it wasn't in your contract kind of thing, right? But life kind of has its turn. So you tell us what I'm alluding to.
Yeah, so basically, you know, one of the things that's a powerful component and has turned into a powerful testimonial for me inside my journey is I was HIV diagnosed in 1985. And so one of the powerful things that's inside of Strike a Pose, the new doc, is, you know, me exposing the truth that here I was inside of this reality on tour with Madonna, supposedly there, responsible for representing strength and freedom of expression. And that's exactly what the tour was about. But there was a double-headed truth going on for me because I was not that at all in my own world. So basically, I was diagnosed in 85. I didn't even come out to my family about it until 14 years later. Wow. So, you know, no one on the tour, no one in any parts of my work world before 2007 ever knew that information about me.
Wow.
And so anyway, you know, I think that's what you were pecking at.
Yeah. Those are two huge things right there. I mean, being gay and being diagnosed.
Absolutely.
In the sense that you hadn't come out, so to speak.
Yeah. And the biggest rub, and I appreciate you bringing in the conversation of gay and the HIV thing, because in relation to my dance career, which has been the biggest gift of my life, it has afforded me every other opportunity and blessing that's come has been a tentacle of that one realm. What's the irony, which is going to have a double irony coming back to Strike a Pose, is that I never honored being a dancer.
Mm.
As big as my career has been, and I was with Hubbard Street, the premier company of Chicago, and on tour with Madonna and lots of other things. And I would package it to most people because it was about my sexuality. And, you know, if you're a male dancer, then you're gay. And I have been a bisexual man most of my life. I started with women and I've done some guys and I flip it out and I do my thing. So I was never comfortable with that. But my truth is that I couldn't embrace my dance career because really the shame maker for me was the HIV status. And I thought if I let people know I'm a dancer, then they'll ask the questions about something and find out my sexuality, which I don't really have an answer or I don't have a pushback about. But if we stay in that conversation long enough, my fear would be that they would then ask me this question about that other area.
Wow.
And that was a crippler for me. So I was inside of monumentally fantastic moments and never able to fully be available to celebrate them.
And while you're on stage being this huge persona and on film, I mean, you're huge.
And
bigger than life. I mean,
sure. And, you know, it's funny because
with a huge persona on top of that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I was sharing with some of the directors because Strike a Pose is a team out of Holland, Esther Gold and Ryer Swan, co-producer directors. When we had some time to film some of my footage, I was sharing with them, you know, the realities in regards to the sort of false strength that I was presenting.
Mm.
As the show's about to happen, because most of our shows are stadium shows, right? So stadiums, those gigs happen at once all the light goes down in the city. So that means that we're not going on until maybe 10:30, maybe 11 o'clock at night. To your point, yes, I'm dressed, I'm ready. We're backstage doing our kumbaya. And then I realize we're in a territory where it's freezing cold outside. And my first entrance is in a little sort of men's underwear kind of thing and a t-shirt. And the amount of times throughout the show that I would be panicked, that I would get a chill. Mm. And a chill might give me a fever.
Mm.
And it was just this fucking double-headed, bizarre reality that I was having to manage all the time.
Playing with your mind.
Yeah, so... And what's fantastic about life and the double irony component that's linked to Strike a Pose is the biggest gift for this new film right now is, yes, it's a movie that's doing incredibly well. Press, interviews, all these things. One of the things that I continually say that is the blessing for me is that I'm so grateful that my soul has been handled in a way that I am 100% on the other side of all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, Felipe, this is the first time in my career with all the things that you're aware of that I've done where I have washed my hands from all the shame, all the doubt, the marginalizing of myself, the marginalizing of myself in relation to the world. I'm free from it, man. So, you know, we just did our Dutch premiere last month, and it was very emotional for a lot of us for different ways. And for me, it was, you know, I say to people that, you know, Mark, this is a game changer project for me. That is true on all levels of a project. But it's the but why I say it's a game changer is the way that it has afforded my soul to be shifted and authentically freed.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is amazing. And one of the, you know, I was doing some Q&As for the film Traveling Around. And one of the conversations that I was having in Amsterdam. So it's interesting about the way that Strike a Pose came together, right? And this will feed into everything that, that your show is about. And that's why I'm so grateful that you guys invited me to be on. It's fantastic. So June of 2013, I decide, I'd spent time working and traveling overseas. I knew that I really liked that and I wanted to have more of that in my life. So June of 13, I'm looking at my current world. And I'm like, things are good. Ba-ba-boom. If you want to live in Europe, and I had already decided about 7 years before that I wanted to have Amsterdam as my base, okay? So June of 13, I'm like, do what you tell your folks to do. Start the conversation. Just put it out there that this is what you're going to be doing and all of this. I did, and 2 months later on the Facebook...
On the Facebook.
On the Facebook, that thing that those of our generation don't have a lot of enamoration about, but it has served me. I get hit up by Esther and Ryer on Facebook, man. They sent me a lengthy paragraph saying that they've been following our careers for 7 years.
You, the dancers.
Me, the dancers from the Blonde Ambition Tour, the men from the Blonde Ambition Tour. Uh-huh. And they had a new concept that they were interested in. What do I think? Cut to 3 weeks later, they arrived in L.A., pitched it here, traveled to the other guys, pitched it to them. The importance of this story into the earlier conversation that you were having on the show before I came on and people maximizing being all that they can be.
Right.
Is setting intentions for new. You just have to decide that it's possible. And I find that where most of us get stuck or get flinched into pause mode is because we can't see how it's supposed to happen. So then we bring our small logic into it and say it's an impossibility. So the fact that 7 years before I was in Amsterdam, I dated someone that lived there 3 weeks in, 3 days into dating, it was a bust and not good, but I fell in love with Amsterdam. That was the little soul shift that was like, this is my tribe.
Which is maybe what that dating experience was about.
It was all about
that. Get you
there. Yeah, totally. So then the fact that, and my conversation during the Q&A, back to the 7 year process when they were hunting us down and scouring the internet to get information on us. My conversation is, you know, in a 7 year span, all of our lives will cause us to go in many different ways in our head.
Like you mean optimistic. Right now, thinking 7 years from now?
Yeah, or the 7 years that have passed. Oh. Just a 7 year cycle for anyone's life will have a combination of doubt, confidence, fear. Do I matter? Am I relevant? All those things.
And some wonderful things, I hope.
And some wonderful things, okay. Yes. Oh, Mark, really?
No, really. That's really? Important.
Is this what it
is? This is what it is.
Okay,
is it,
fine.
Isn't he a hoot?
It's important.
So the 7 year angle is that, and my conversation was like, and I'm fumbling on my words because I'm just so excited about this time in my life. And I was just sharing this with someone last night. I'm invited here to talk and do my thing, right? I've never been a person that boasts about what I do.
I wrote that about you on Facebook.
Did you?
I wrote that today. You'll see it.
Okay.
I said, in all these years that I've known you and the times that I've met you, I didn't know you did half the things that you did because you don't say, hey, and you know what else I do.
Yeah. And, you know, that's just not my normal bent, but I'm in a new level of freedom right now and fully honoring all that I am and all that has happened that it puts me into a little bit of squirrely mode. But the point is the 7 year story for me has so shifted me to silence my individual story about life and what life and how life is happening for me. Because clearly, I don't know everything. When I look at the fact in a 7-year span, that 7-year that happened before 2013, there was not one person, but there were two people from around the world literally strategizing on my behalf.
Interesting.
Somebody already saying that I mattered. Somebody already saying that I was of value to a bigger percentage of people that I could have an influence on, right?
Interesting.
So the massive takeaway through this current chapter, month, hour of my life is shut your effing mouth about who you are and what life is doing, because you don't know.
Here, here.
Oh, sorry.
Here. You know, okay. So let me give your website out. MyDanceFormation.com.
Yes, sir.
MyDanceFormation.com. This sounds to me like this whole life in the making is now also about this. He's CEO of Dance Formation, and we're going to talk about when we come back what that is, and obviously it's important. So what people will get when they come in and work with you, awesome. Which sounds like it's going to have to be in Holland. But in any event, we'll be right back with our guest, Carlton Wilborn. And a little later on, in just a little bit, actually, we're going to have Carl Bray perform live for us here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere and our guest, Carlton Wilborn. We have been talking about, from M, from Madonna to the Blonde Ambition Tour to, HIV and all that stuff. And now let's talk about Dance Formation.
Yes.
Mr. CEO.
Fantastic. Dance Formation is my most special baby. Again, here's what's interesting. So Dance Formation is my life coaching curriculum. I've basically designed the first ever movement-based through dance life coaching curriculum.
Wow.
In its optimum form, it's a three-phase process. And mostly now I do events instead of individual clients. So they're basically three-day workshops that live alone as like a 5 to 6 hour event. And then we do that two more times. So Dance Formation for me is amazing. I've known since I was 8 years old that I should be, like literally, it's been a calling on me since I was 8 years old that I was supposed to be talking to thousands of people. And I don't know what worries my little brain had back then, but it was something about getting people in their power and all of this.
Wow.
It's important. So not too many years ago, I went to an Anthony Robbins event. We know who Anthony Robbins is. And 3 months after the event, I get a cold call at home in regards to showing up and filling another seat because Anthony was coming back to LA. I had just finished some work with Landmark Education. And they have a really powerful technology called enrolling, which basically means that you have a conversation with someone, and through your conversation, the way that you be and the way that you hold the space for them, they say yes to what it is that you're interested in. So this guy calls to invite me to come to Anthony's show again, and I'm hearing him, but all I'm hearing is enroll them in something else. Enroll them. So he's inviting me to come. And I'm like, I like it. Trust me. I've done a lot of Anthony's events. But if Anthony wants to give me a free seat, I would love to come and fill it. He's like, well, sorry, sir. We're doing a cold call. We can't invite everybody to have a free seat. I was like, I understand, sir, but I'm not everybody. I'm one person. I stay in this conversation. And I'm sure he's thinking, who is this dude? Like, what's he doing? But I'm holding the space that I know. Anyway, the conversation lasts about 10 minutes. He's like, well, how about I give you like an extra 2-3 days? Is it all right if I call you back and see if maybe you're interested? I'm like, yeah, but hang on. Before you hang up, how about you see who else you need to speak to in your organization to clear my free seat? And I would love to talk to you. Okay. He says, okay, great. I'll call you back. 3 days later, he calls me back. Hi, it's Carlton. Hey, Carlton, it's Steve. I won't say his last name. He says, let's scratch the Anthony Robbins conversation. I went online and I looked you up. And I went, ding, 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 ding.
Interesting.
Because you know, there's no way they're tracking and following somebody to their website and seeing who they are out of cold calls. I'm sure he was thinking, who's this maniac pushing up on me? So anyway, the point is the guy, Steven, has been inside of Anthony Robbins' camp for a long time as a coach. He was calling me to offer his free services to help me get from where I was to where I needed to be, this tracks to dance formation. Immediately, he started asking me, why me as a life coach? Uh-huh. Now, again, the Carlton that's not or that wasn't as developed as I am today, I would never face up to my truth. This was around 2009, okay? I get the download from an Oracle woman here in LA in 1999, basically for me to be doing the work that is current day dance formation. She never called it that, but she mentioned me using movement, meaning dance, as a ministry. Mm. Now, again, I told you what I didn't want to own. I didn't want to own being a dancer because then.
Isn't that interesting?
So she's telling me that I
should. Gifts.
And right. So anyway, I was completely resistant to her information. And there's a lot of accountability to her work. After you leave, you have to look things up and all of this. So I did all that, cut track back to Steven's phone call. Dance formation becoming what it finally is, I had to face my truth. I am a dancer. And that is why me. And that's what allowed me to then look at how dance has served my life. Dance has only entered my life when I was 13 years old as a literal fix-it for a part of my life at the time that wasn't right. Mm. I never started dancing because I was like, Mom and Dad, I love dance. Can you get me in some classes? That was never the deal. I was going to school in Florida. It was a nightmare. Mid-season in my freshman year in high school, I called my parents to say I wanted to come home. They brought me home middle of the school year. Scramble, find a school. I ended up at a magnet school with this blessing of a woman. The bottom line is that I got to finally see that the same way that dance helped me get out of Florida, back to Chicago, back to this magnet school that had a strong dance division, that was literally a fluke strategy that got me into dance. And I started looking at, I have to make this viable for everybody else. Mm. But let my story, because I was doing another interview in Chicago not too long ago, and they were asking me, out of all the things that you do, writing, producing, directing, blah, blah, boom, which would you say is your favorite? And I was like, well, that's a great question. I can't say that either, that there is a favorite.
Right.
But what came to me in that moment is that the one area that fuels everything else is my dance. Mm. Mm. And if it's not dance, it's at least me activating and accessing my body in a new way. So the bottom line is I got clear on that. Poof. I committed to dance formation and started doing it. And so now I do regular 3-day events. I did a 5-day retreat that I got to take to Hawaii. That's amazing. Private grounds, gourmet food catered, local excursion built in. And one of the exciting things that has me going back to Amsterdam for a spell of time is I have the Dutch market is interested in setting up Dance Formation as a docuseries.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to have you back.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's Dance Formation.
Well, that's exciting. Well, okay. So mydanceformation.com.
Mydanceformation.com. You can find me there or go to info. Shoot me an email at info at mydanceformation.com, or you can call me at 888-750-5322. There you will hear my voice, and I'll call you back, maybe.
Okay.
Well, look. Why are you?
You're amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much for being here with us.
No way.
Sharing your story.
Are we
the
done?
The show's not over, but we're
where's Carl?
We're going to bring Carl
I'm not
in.
Until Carl comes in. Where's no, Carl?
None of us are leaving until here. Carl. Excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
You're directing now? Take a break. You just left directing your new thing. And
where's Carl?
All right,
Carl?
So we'll be right back.
Where's Carl?
We'll be right back with Carl Bray right after
and
this.
Not Carl.
The Life Changes. No, Carlton will still be here on the Life Changes show. All right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere, and Carlton Wilborn is still with us. And we are joined in the studio by Carl Bray. Now, Carl is a Canadian-born pianist and composer. He's also, well, he's been working on some film scoring, and he's also a concert pianist. And what else? There are a lot of other things, right?
Well, that's pretty much it. You nailed it. I used to play
and
live
producer.
A lot. Yeah, exactly. I'm producing a lot with my production partner Brandon Ernst. We have a project called
Brandon. We know Brandon.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
hey, Brandon.
That's actually.
Oh, that's how
we
know each other. Oh, okay.
How I
cool.
met Mark. So we did a performance for one of Mark's events, and that's how this transpired. So. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, what a pleasure. And how interesting that it's today.
I know.
Because without us knowing, you knew Carlton.
I did. Yeah. he came to hear me perform at the Soho House, and we had brunch after and got to know a little bit about what he does. So this is quite a coincidence.
We've learned there's no such thing, especially not on this show. So we're going to hear... You're a concert pianist in jazz, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mainly. So we're going to hear your original jazz compositions?
Yeah, I'm going to play two pieces. The first one I wrote in honor of one of my favorite jazz composers, Thelonious Monk.
Oh,
it's called
yeah.
Simply For Monk. And it was written probably about 8 or 10 months ago. And I haven't performed it a whole lot, but recently revisited it and thought it would be a nice choice for this show. And then after that, I thought I would change sounds a little bit and play something that improvise a little bit on a group of change is a progression that Brandon and I have been exploring a little bit and kind of move into sort of an electronic sound because I'm actually heading off to Sound Nightclub later on. We have a performance tonight. So.
Oh, so you're using this as practice. That's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just going to get the kinks out here. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Happy for you.
Yeah, exactly.
What else can we do for you while we're here?
Yeah.
And what's that called? Or does it have a name yet?
It's going to be called Life Changes.
Oh! Drop the mic, bitches.
you know, it's interesting, though. We're laughing. And of course, this is kind of how life works, though, right? One thing feeds another thing feeds another thing, right? And so Life Changes would be really appropriate if you choose to call it that. I as I was listening to Carlton, I kept thinking about you and what you were telling me about how you went from this town to that town and then you studied this and worked with these people, which led you to this town. You met these people and all of that kind of thing, too.
Yeah, it's been an incredible journey. I grew up in Regina, Saskatchewan, kind of in the Midwest of Canada, so to speak. And I was fortunate to make my way to Toronto to do my undergrad in jazz performance and really enjoyed it there. I stayed, played on the scene live there for about 3 or 4 years after I graduated. And got an opportunity to work in Montreal, so I moved up there for about a year and a half, and kind of felt like I was in a little bit of a rut, and I wanted to continue exploring stuff, and started thinking about film composition and composing to picture. So I started looking into that, and thankfully I got into the film scoring program at UCLA. So I packed up my keyboard and my suitcase, having never been to LA before, and got on a 4:30 a.m. flight. Left my my apartment and my girl in Montreal, and that was it. I that was about a year and three quarters now. So. It's been quite a whirlwind of a journey, but I don't regret a minute of it.
Wow. Well, it feels like you're still in the new stages of this journey.
Absolutely.
You're still very young and can't wait to see as your life and your journey progresses and your career as well. So welcome to LA.
Thank you.
And so did you say it's simply For Monk or For Monk?
It's called For Monk.
Oh, For Monk.
Yeah,
okay.
For Monk.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, then here's Carl Bray performing For Monk live in Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show.
Wow.
That was amazing, Carl.
Oh, wow.
That was
Carl
awesome.
Carl Bray. You know, that's Carl Bray, C-A-R-L-B-R-A-Y. And you can, .ca for Canada, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So carlbray.ca is where you can find out more about him.
Yeah.
And then he's on SoundCloud. We have his links up at lifechangesnetwork.com, but it would be soundcloud.com
/Carl Bray,
right? And so, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this on this show because we have a dancer here, but maybe, you have such smoothness when you're playing. Mm. Your fingers were just gliding, like almost no effort. And it reminded me of Fred Astaire when he danced. Right?
I was in the Gene Kelly mode.
I was going to say the guy from Singing in the Rain,
exactly.
But I couldn't think of his
name,
but both of them.
And so the thing that I love about Carl choosing that is somebody of your generation, which is the millennials, basically. The fact that you even appreciate that kind of sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Dude, that was beautiful.
Well,
thanks to my dad's record collection, actually, growing up, he had some Monk and some Keith Jarrett, and Oscar Peterson also was a huge influence of mine. And I was fortunate to win the Oscar Peterson Award, which kind of prompted me to go to Toronto, and that kind of boosted the whole thing into motion. And so those were, you know, my primary influences growing up, and then coming here and meeting Brandon, getting into, you know, some electronic music. It's really sort of broadened the whole palette. So I guess this next piece is some stuff that we've been working on and sounds that we're incorporating into.
Well, before we go on to the next piece, when can we have the pleasure of having your music on in our sound collection? Are you going to have a CD out soon? Or?
Well, some stuff. I don't know when the next time I'm going to get in the studio to record jazz, but
I think you just did.
Yeah. Well, there it is. Want to make that into a single, but Brandon and I are working on an EP right now, and
oh great,
so that should be coming up in the next few months.
Well,
so,
then we might have to have you both.
Yeah, that's
that would be a treat.
I was talking to Mark about that, so
I would love to have you back.
We haven't locked down a specific date yet, but we're definitely, and Brandon is keen as well, so we're definitely going to come back.
I'm so excited that he has found you, because I think he's brilliant, and I've always known that the right combinations for him, you know, we're going to go to the next level. So you guys are a great match.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, I'm excited to hear this next song called Life Changes, and let's give it a go, shall we?
Sure.
Let's practice it. Let's practice together here on the Life Changes show.
Improvisation.
Here's Carl Bray playing Life Changes in Studio NoHo. Thank you. Wow. Man.
Stunning. So I'm just going to throw Carl this Bray. Out there. I think there's a Carl and Carlton project
I could read his mind. He was choreographing
I'm serious,
and
dude.
Moving. His body was going. Carlton Wilburn was like choreographing
that
in his head.
That's beautiful, man.
Carl Bray. CarlBray.ca. Thank you so much. That was
thank you so much for having me.
That was great. Yeah. Oh man,
yeah, that was life changing.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. So thank you, Carl. Thank you, Carlton Wilburn.
Thank
hey,
you,
both,
sir.
Carl. Oh, weird. Ooh. Carl and Carlton. There's something here. All right, this has been fantastic. I love this show. I love it. Thank you, Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so great. And thank you to BBS Radio, our producers, our program manager, Doug Newsom. And on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Mark Legere, and myself, your host, Filippo Voltaggio, I'm here to say, if your life changes even remotely as much as ours did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.